Let us pray. Holy God, you have blessed us with so many things. And one we often forget is you've blessed us with the word that has been shared with us from the times of our history. People's words who have experienced you and shared with them with us today, that we might know how to live our lives, that we might know about you. We pray, O Lord, that you would hear, we would hear the truth that you have for us in the words that we've heard. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. You all know that the Bible talks about the tithe. Giving 10% of your income, be it money or grain or some other commodity, and giving it to God through the church. And then some time ago I heard that the modern tithe was 5%. I don't know who came up with that, whether it was biblical scholars or people who only wanted to give 5%. And then I came across an article from the 1989 Discipleship Journal by Ronald Blue, and he shared this statistic. The average charitable giving in the United States is 1.7% of adjusted gross income. The average among Christians is 2.5%. Well, I don't know. Maybe the modern tithe isn't 5%. Maybe it's 2.5%. When I came to this church 25 years ago, I was told very early on that the church did not believe in big stewardship drives. They liked the soft, quiet approach. You generally sent out a letter with a pledge card. This is what we need. Tell us what you can give towards it. And that's pretty much how we've done it over the years. And I will say that this church has been a pretty good church in giving, especially when money was needed for certain projects. Our crisis with the roof in the parking lot over the past several years is a testament to that fact. While we in the church talk a lot about members needing to give more, I think the more important thing to talk about is why do we give what we give? I've heard preachers telling their members when they are asked, how much should I give? And they say, well, give until it gets to be a little uncomfortable. It begins to hurt. But I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about today. I don't think that widow was giving until it hurt. There was something else going on. But before I talk about the poor widow, I want to go back and look at Ruth and Naomi. You know the story, as I just shared it with Cheyenne. Out of thanks, Naomi offers her family to Ruth. Thanks for what Ruth had done for her. She wanted to take care of Ruth's security. And Ruth marries Boaz and becomes a part of the family. Because Ruth has given so much to Naomi. And while we're not talking about money in this story, we are talking about giving and receiving. We see the thanksgiving that has for what has been received and the giving as a response. Naomi is very thankful for all that Ruth has done for her, that Ruth has stayed with her. And so, in essence, by telling her how to become Boaz's wife, she gives Ruth her family. She gives Ruth security. Naomi really doesn't have anything else to give Ruth. But she gave her love and the love of her family. You see, thanksgiving and giving begin with a matter of perspective. Take the following story, for instance. A man goes to a rabbi and complains, life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do? The rabbi answered, take a goat into the room with you. And the man is incredulous, but the rabbi insists, do as I say and come back in a week. A week later, the man comes back looking more distraught than ever. We cannot stand it, he tells the rabbi. The goat is so filthy. And the rabbi then tells him, okay, go home and let the goat out and come back in a week. A radiant man returns to the rabbi a week later exclaiming, life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now that there's no goat, only the 9 of us. It's a matter of perspective, how we see things. Joyful giving begins with seeing what has already been given to us. When we can see the many blessings that we have received, then we're more apt to be generous. However, we live in a day and age when it feels that everything we get is by the sweat of our own toil and work. We work hard. We get this stuff called money. I would say we get these green money, but we don't even get green money anymore. It just automatically goes into our checking account. And it's there. And then we go and we pick what we need off of shelves. And we think it's all ours. It's all because of us working. We've achieved it. And yet there is so much that we don't see. We don't see the people and forces working behind the scenes to make what we do and what we receive possible. Take a CEO of a corporation who feels that his wealth is the result of his hard work in the office and in the boardroom. Or the investors who think they got what they got because of shrewd investing. I'm not saying they didn't invest shrewdly, but they forget the people working the assembly lines that actually make the product. They forget the marketing and sales people who actually get the product out into the market and sell it. They forget the office cleaning crews who keep things clean and neat so that the people with the company have a decent place to work and think. They forget the other companies that make things that they need to produce their product. And then if you move away from that, they forget about the farmers and everybody who grows all the food that they and their families eat. And the list just keeps going on and on. We cannot live to ourselves. We are not our own keepers. Since the beginning of time, we have depended on others and their sense of humanity to help us through our life. And now we come to this poor widow. She gives from a generous heart because she knows that she is there by the grace of God in a very real way. She knows that God has been with her. And it's through the goodness of God working through others that she even still exists. It's because of God's Spirit that she's able to give anything at all, and therefore it is a joy to give, even her last 2 coins. Reverend Dr. Scott Weimer, a Presbyterian pastor in Atlanta, tells the following story about a member of his church. Several years ago, a Kenyan woman joined our church. Her name was Lydia. She told me that she loved our congregation, but she really missed certain aspects of her home church, especially parts of the worship service. He says, I asked her what she missed the most, and she told me something I've never forgotten. She said, I miss the offering. In Kenya, we would sometimes dance down the aisle doing the offering. We didn't have much to give, but what we did have, we gave with much joy. What a privilege to give back to God, she said. And he says, ever since that conversation, I've tried to make the offering more than just a routine part of the worship service. I tried to link the offering of our gifts with the attitude of our hearts. As God has given so much to us, especially in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, surely we can give back to God from glad and joyful hearts. I've shared with you that when I went to Kenya in 2006, I saw this joyful giving in the Kamai Church, who gave us that bowl. After the collection was taken, and there was joyful music during the collection, a member of the congregation, one of the elders, took the collection, and then he joyfully went around and said, "Come on, we can give more." And people would reach out. He said, "You can give more." And he'd give them the book. He'd put the plate in front of them, and then they put more money in. And they kept going, and it was a wonderful celebration. And I said to the man, I said, "I want to bring you home." But there was a sense of joy about their giving. And I realized later, when I look back on that whole experience of being in Kenya, the church is the fallback for people who are experiencing hardships in life. And so when something happened in their life, it was the church that took care of them. And so their giving was out of a gratitude for what God had done through that church for them. They recognized God had been with them. It's about having a heart for God. Having a heart for God means you love God, you want to thank God for being there with you and for you. The widow in our gospel story had a heart for God. And even though she did not have much, she still wanted to love God by loving God's people. Now there is another aspect of giving that is beneficial to God and brings happiness to us. But I'm going to let the lecturer during our brunch talk about that. And I do want to say, I've been saying this thing as a lecture, but it's not a dry, boring lecture. This guy has a wonderful sense of humor. So you'll be laughing, as well as the 5,000 people that were there listening to him. Giving raises our level of happiness. We give because we've experienced God at work in our lives and are grateful for it, grateful for God who loves us. Is that behind your giving? I hope so. It will make your gifts more enjoyable for you and for others. The author of 2 Corinthians said it, God loves a cheerful giver. Although I like Eugene Peterson in his paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, he translates that same passage as, God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. Giving is not done out of a sense of duty, but out of a delightful sense of thanks. Thanks be to God who has given us so much. Amen.